Hello and welcome, David Baker. Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast. We're glad that you're here. And this is Friday, another Family Friday. I have one of my other children here, and this is, your name is?
Cameron Zachary Baker.
Cameron Zachary Baker. All right. And as we do, our kids have a name and a number. So what number are you?
The ninth child.
The ninth child. Wow. Nine. So how does it feel knowing mom only wanted eight and you're number nine?
Well, Rhys is lucky, but I'm not.
So when my wife and I met, she said she wanted at least eight, but she didn't put a number on it. So God gave us 11, and we've been blessed with all of that. But Cameron is number nine. And it's interesting, Cameron, when for the longest time, he was the little runt. He was a little squirt. He was just, yeah, just Cameron, skinny. And something happened. what happened?
Puberty happens.
Puberty, yeah. So how tall are you now?
About 6'1".
And then there's the hair on top of
there's the hair. Get as much as you can.
So 6'1" or so, and he's got muscles. So yesterday we did outside work and up on the top of a ladder with a pole chainsaw, if you know what that is. And so it's like a weed eater, but on the end it has a chainsaw on it. And so we trimmed the trees, and Cameron was the blessed one to get on top and to cut most of those down. So we really appreciate that. So how old are you?
16.
16 years old. All right. Do you have your license yet?
No.
No. Well, are you working on it?
I am.
You are. And how's your driving going?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. So I can say this, okay, of all of my children, Cameron has been one of them. Just kidding. He's been one of the better ones. So with where we live, we have a shop and we have two driveways. And so Cameron has been one to help change the oil. So he'll drive the car on our property back in the shop, around the shop, bring it back. So he was a little more comfortable than some of them. And so he does well. One of the problems that he has driving, I have to keep telling him to
slow down,
slow down, slow down, slow down. So, so he's comfortable, sometimes too comfortable, which will create problems. So, all right. So you're on the lower end of this. We have Jonathan, our number four child, just got married. They just got back from their honeymoon. And my other daughter, who's not married, I'm not supposed to say too much about that, so I won't. But we could, and before too long, have just three children. Larissa's going to college this next year, so you are one of the youngest three. So in our home, we have kids called the older group. That's the oldest four. The oldest three. They're the older kids, David, Sarah, and Alyssa. And then there's the second. That's the four boys in a row, Jonathan, Mark, Derek, Grant. And then there's the little kids, and that was
four youngest. Larissa down.
No, the three. Oh, yeah, four youngest. Yes, Larissa, Cameron, Janessa, and Carson. So how does it feel to be in the younger kids of the family?
I mean, I don't mind it. I was used to it, but I mean, now I guess I am a lot older.
So yes, as a younger kid, do you feel like, you know, you were deprived of food and clothing and a place to sleep?
If anything, you got more clothing. Get all those pass me downs from four brothers above you.
Absolutely, four brothers around. They pass down some good clothes, so that is a blessing. So, what do you enjoy doing? Hobbies, life. What do you enjoy?
I really like playing cello. Lots of fun, and piano. Cello, I always have to set up, so I find myself just going and playing the piano. With work, I don't know, any outside manual labor, any of that type of stuff. I was telling my mom, I was like, trying to sit down and concentrate on school. I said it's kind of difficult sometimes. I said, when I go outside, I said I can work for hours, not get bored. Doesn't matter what we're doing, I can just work.
Awesome. So I'm always amazed because kids, you think, oh, they don't like work. And we tried, that was one of our goals when our kids were little, is to teach them to work and to teach them that work is not a bad thing. Parents, if you think about this, what are the kids' toys? What do they like to play with? The toy lawnmower, the toy hammer, the toy Build-It set. For girls, the toy kitchen, the toy babies. All the things that we count as work, that's what they count for play. And so we never disciplined our kids by making them work, because that's something bad. Work is not bad. You're going to do work the rest of your life. And so for kids that know how to and can work, I appreciate that. So your normal chores of the house, what kind of slave labor do we make you do?
Well, I used to have a lot more, but Carson got older and I was able to pass some stuff off to him. So he used to have to burn all the trash because we're in the country and stuff. So pass that down to Carson. Carson has to burn all that. And now he has to take care of the dogs by himself. But I still mow everything. Carson's not quite old enough to really, I don't know, use the riding mower. But
those zero turns, you know, you don't want him to zero turn on top of himself. So,
well, I mean, I was 13 when I started and he's 13 now. So
yeah, this summer, he might take that. This summer he'll be working on that for sure. And so you do all the mowing and the weed eating. Do you guys share that or is Carson doing most of that?
Well, lately I have been weed eating. I did lots of the front stuff because I'm still better than Carson at it and still get pretty. But yeah, so Carson, I'm able to pass lots of stuff down to him, which is kind of nice. Frees up my time. I can do what I want.
Yes, awesome. And what about vehicles? What do you do for those?
I know some of the stuff, and I hear a lot about it, but I'm honestly, the best mechanics are Jonathan and Grant. I haven't learned as much of them, but I have been able to watch some of the stuff they've done, and I've learned lots of it.
And so if we need the oil change, who does that?
I'm always doing that. I was trying to teach Carson last time I was doing it. I was like, Carson, well, watch what I'm doing here. You'll be doing it next.
Yeah, so that is what we do. Literally, we start one child with it, and they help train the next one, and they help train the next one. I think I really only showed one of them how to do it, and then the rest of them, it just gets passed on to the next one. And what a blessing that is. Parents, make sure that you realize we're not rearing children. They already are children. We are rearing adults. And so what are the things that they need to know to be an adult? That's what we want to teach them. And so, all right, so you're 16 years old. So you're old enough to date. Is that right?
No.
No? What? What kind of cruel parents don't let a kid date at 16 years old?
The nice ones. The ones that actually care about you.
Absolutely. So how much does it hurt you? Are you bitter and upset that you have these mean, cruel parents who won't let you date?
No, I haven't really met a girl that I even would want to. There's not, pretty enough girls in our church yet.
Oh, that's going to get you in trouble.
Completely.
I'm sure the girls are going to love that. So, yes, they can be a little animosity there. And as we talk about with dating, why does a teenager need to date? If you're not old enough to get married and you're not ready to get married, then why get on the path that leads to marriage? What's going to happen is they're going to start acting like they're married when they're not married, and that's not a good thing. That's not going to be good and helpful to them. So, and we want to teach our children to wait for the right one. So, all right, honesty here. So have you been to other churches or conferences and you say, you know what, if I were old enough, that might be a girl I'd like to date. Have you seen any of those?
Occasionally. Very rare.
I wondered how that answer would come out. So you wait for the right time, the right place, the right person, and it works out awesome. So, all right, the other thing I've been asking the kids, because this is a big deal for a lot of kids and families, is discipline, okay? So how cruel and hateful and mean are we in discipline? Do you feel like a bruised, battered child? And if you knew the number for DHS or Children's Services, you'd call them. Is that right?
Completely. I didn't even know what that is, DHS.
Yeah, we don't tell them. We don't tell them. There's a number that you can call if you feel like we're abusing you and turn us in.
So. No, not at all. If anything, you need more of it. I mean, all the kids have said that. I don't care for it at the time, but after, I'm like, okay, that I deserve that one.
Yeah, I deserve that one. So I've asked some of my kids, all right, have you ever felt like I disciplined you when you were totally innocent? It wasn't you. You didn't do it.
No, you haven't.
No.
There's not one I can think of.
And we try hard, and no parents are perfect, and we are not, but it's amazing. I've dealt with a lot of adults who are bitter at their parents for disciplining them when they didn't feel like they deserved it. And so they grew up with that. They live for that. Now, they should forgive and go on, but if they're still holding that, that's going to put walls up. And so with our children, we tried the best we could to make sure before we discipline them, what's the problem? What's the issue? What happened? What's the penalty for that? And so when they understand that, they realize it's not something that is unfair, but it's something we're doing because we love them, we care about them, and we know that that's what they're going to need for them to be what God wants them to be. So, all right. So when you're out and about, do you see other kids who haven't got the loving biblical discipline? And what do you see there?
Well, I mean, at our church, we got a bus route, and I'm on that. I see it constantly. I mean, I haven't spanked anybody's kid yet.
You better not.
That doesn't go over well, so I've heard. But some of those kids, it just almost infuriates me of all the stuff they do. And obviously, they need help, and that's why we're there. We're trying to help them. But so many times, you see all the kids doing all they do. It's like, man, well, if we adopted you, we'd change that in a week. You just wait and see.
So, and so many times, it doesn't take what you think. Children will do what they're expected to do. Think back, grade school, and you have a substitute teacher, okay? And the substitute teacher, you realize, okay, they're a pushover. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to handle the children and child control. So what do? You take advantage of them. Next day or next hour, you have a different teacher, and you know you can take advantage of them. Children will change their behavior on a dime depending on what they're expected to do. If you say, oh, well, their kids are going to do this, guess what? They're going to do that. When you say they're children of God, they're not going to act like this. We're not going to let them act like this. Guess what they do? They change to do that. I'm amazed how little we do have to discipline because of the children. They know what they're supposed to do. They see the older ones doing that, and they fall right in. Now, I'm sure you have been disciplined, but maybe I'm getting old and just don't remember, but it doesn't seem like you've gotten a lot. Does it seem to you that you have?
Not from you, I haven't.
More from Mom, I guess. So, yeah. But literally, we have said this, it has gotten easier bringing the children because the younger ones look and watch the older ones and they fall in line to see what's allowed and what's not, what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And they have good older brothers and sisters to get to be an example to. So that's a blessing. So you enjoy the cello and playing that well, and piano. So what's your favorite song on the piano to play? Honesty.
Well, it's also the most difficult ones I play, but The Black Pearl from Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's a classical piano piece, but it's from Pirates of the Caribbean, and it is, boy, exploding. The piano feels like it's exploding when they play that. So it's a challenging one, and so he can step up to do that. Of course, they play hymns and Christian songs, and they learn, but great to be able to do that. So what part do you sing now in our family group?
Most of the time's bass, but honestly, I'm not that good of a bass. Still practicing and getting better, of course.
It is amazing when the voice changes and the little kid that you can put on tenor or a high part, like, okay, you're done. You're not there anymore. So so we've got, let's see, Jonathan's got a range. He can sing tenor or bass, but he's probably our best bass. And then Grant is a bass and he's doing well. And then Cameron looks like he's going to be a bass. And you want to be able to stretch a range where you can sing tenor, lead, and bass. And so we work with that with the kids. But Derek can sing baritone, but he's also a good tenor. And David, my oldest, is a first tenor, and he can sing B flats and C's, and we'll have him on here. And so, but fun to be able to sing with family and to sing for the Lord. So we're recording this on a Sunday afternoon after church. So if you see the suits and ties, that's why. So what did we sing today?
Remember, I can't remember.
You can't remember the song we sang.
Nope.
So it's a song my wife wrote about Samuel. Don't let the fire go out. Revive it again. So my wife wrote that, and about the candle of the Lord. So it was really good. Okay. All right. The rest of it's yours. You got 10 minutes to tell us all the wisdom that you know, all the advice to everybody, what everyone needs to do. What great truths of wisdom do you have to give everyone?
Yeah, I don't think I can even make 10 minutes or 10 seconds for that matter.
So, as with my other children, they're not really excited about it. And the kids have said, I don't know what to say. You don't have to just answer the questions, and that's good. And I just wanted you to be acquainted with the children and to get to see that whatever age it is, whether it's my 26-year-old daughter or we'll have my oldest son, 30, who's married with his own family and children, down to the 16-year-old, the 14, and the 13, that you can have a good relationship. And you can be close and still respect and honor and enjoy being together. So do you feel like there's a ever a wall up. It's what's called the generation gap, okay? I'm 55 years old. He's 16. We're a generation apart. Surely we can't talk and understand each other and like each other because our age is so different. Do you feel like that?
Not at all.
So if you've got a question, do you think that I'm too old to answer it, or do you think I could help you with it?
Obviously, you can help me with it. It's not you know it all, but you know most of it. They say there's nothing new under the sun. It's all happened before. Stuff I struggle with, my dad struggled with at one time in his life. Why don't I go ask him instead of lots of people? They just go ask their friends and, hey, this is what's happening. And they go to their friends. Their friends are going through the same problem. How can you ask your friends to help you with what they're going through? Go to somebody who's already gone through it and has done well with it. So I go to my father. I know most likely he's going to have the answers. And if he doesn't, he can get it really fast.
So awesome. Very well said. All right. The last thing I had was something you get to do on Saturdays and other days. And God seemed to bless you with it. You seem to enjoy it. Showing other people how to go to heaven. So how did that start? When did you start doing that? And how has God blessed you in that?
Well, let's see. When I started, actually, lots of the other siblings, they had started younger. I mean, Jonathan told me he started when he was 7 or 8. I think the very first person I was... the very first time I was able to show somebody how to go to heaven, I think I was 12. And I was with a guy in our church who was with the teen department. He was helping me out and stuff. So I'd finally gotten all the words down. I memorized it. And so they had a challenge in the teen department to just, you don't even have to show two people how to go to heaven. You just have to ask to. Just put out the question. Because they wanted the teenagers to finally get used to that. Because lots of them... I mean, some of them have grown up with it, some haven't, but they wanted to push us, at least just get us out there. So I was going to ask the question. I just had asked it twice, and it seemed so nerve-wracking now. Well, I finally asked the question. I was able to show somebody how to go to heaven. Now I look back at it as like such a hard, difficult thing to ask, and it's become so much easier now the more and more you do it. It's absolutely amazing. The more and more I do it, the more and more it gets easier, and then also the blessings you see from it. It is one of the biggest things. We had a... My brother-in-law, Tim, his dad came in from California one time, and he heard all the teenagers saying, I was able to see somebody saved. I was able to have somebody saved. And he kept hearing this a bunch, and he saw that our teen department was actually doing something. And so he went to teach the teen guys, and he said, you guys do realize that the more and more you show people how to go to heaven is the more you'll see blessings. He goes, honestly, something that you want or something you need or something and you don't have, you show people how to go to heaven and ask God for that. See if he gives it to you. Well, I tried to think about it, and I was like, I was able to see some people saved this week, which was awesome. Loved it. I was like, but what do I need? I was like, my parents have taken everything for me. I don't have any need. I was like, well, I sure got a lot of wants. So I prayed to God. I said, God, would you just please bless me just in anything and everything. And the next day, I was given a pair of boots, $220 for this very nice pair of boots, and I never had that before. So now I have these very nice boots. I still wear them, and it's just the next day. I prayed that. The next day, God answered it and gave me something that I couldn't afford. I didn't have the money at the time. I was like 14. It's like I couldn't buy that, but I show people how to go to heaven. God blessed me because of it.
Awesome. God does reward us. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and ones that serve him. He's the Lord, and we're supposed to be the steward of that. Also, I just thought of this, the blessing you have with your cello. So how much is your cello worth, your bow worth, and what were you able to get that for?
Well, we actually, my dad found it. I don't know what site you found it on, but he found this cello because I was looking for one. I wanted to go to a full size. I had much long time ago outgrown my 3/4 size. So I wanted to get a full size for a while. And I was able to save some money up. And my dad found a cello, and the guy was selling it for about $1,000. And if you understand, with instruments, wood instruments normally cost a lot more money. So this was a good price. It looked like a very nice cello. So Grant, my older brother, he took me out to the place to check it out. Well, Grant's a lot better at the cello, so he played down and played on it. And he said, Cameron, this is really, really nice. You really, really want this. I was like, okay. So Grant was able to talk him down. I was able to get the thing for $750. Then I bought new strings for it, which was about $350. So it was about $1,200. The more Grant learned about cellos, Grant told me, he goes, Cameron, your cello is at least worth $5,000. That bow is $500 plus. Everything is real wood. It's not like some plywood or something. It's funny, Derek and Grant are both better than me in cello, but I have the nicest cello out of all of us. If I was to sell the thing, I could easily try for $6,000 or $7,000. The guy we bought it from didn't know a lot about the cello or even about cellos, but he was a major need for money. So we helped him out and he helped us out. And now I have a beautiful cello and I thank God for it.
Amen. Awesome. So also you've been able to work with your brother some when you've got some time off between school and you've done some, what do you know how to do and what have you done with that work?
Well, finished carpentry is what, you know, lots of my older brothers have gone to. But it's also really nice that Jonathan, he could take me to work. He pretty much got me the job. He talked to Jeremy about it, who is the boss. And he, I started going to work every day with him. You get up real early and stuff, but you also, since you get up early, you get back earlier too. So you have more time in your day to still do stuff. So we're getting up at 4:30 sometimes, getting back at 4:30. So we work 10-hour days and stuff. It was like hard work at the beginning. And at the beginning, I kind of dreaded it and work and stuff. And the more I learned and was able to build stuff and was actually able to do stuff, it got more fun. I was actually learning and be able to get better at it. And the better you get is also more he pays, which that's also nice. So I do finish carpentry now. A bunch of measurements and a bunch of math goes with it. But I mean, you really get to build a bunch of stuff on a house. We say finish carpentry, but really it's anything the project managers need us to do. We've done all sorts of things. But it's lots of fun work. Also be able to work with your brothers. And Jonathan was able to teach me most of what I know with it.
Awesome. You mean a 16-year-old will get up at 4:30 in the morning to be able to go to work? What? Why would one kid do that? And why would your parents allow that?
Well, I was kind of in school and stuff. But how since we're homeschooled, I mean, my dad said, he told me, he goes, I want you to do this. He goes, the money you can get and start saving way earlier than most anybody your age. He goes, but for you to do this, you still got to try to keep up on your school too. So I went to work at, I was able to start 4:30, getting up every single day. I'm starting work because my dad said yes. So I get home and I was doing school and practicing cello and piano and stuff. It's crazy schedule for a long time.
Yeah. And so now he's doing mostly school, make sure he stays caught up on that. And when he can, he just worked for 2 weeks. The boss needed him. And so that was good. All right. I say the last thing often. I think that's the last thing. So I just noticed, has anyone ever told you you talk fast?
Yes, actually, yes. A lot.
And where do you get that at?
I still have no idea. It's coolest. Nobody in my family ever talks fast. So I don't know. I think I'm the only one. So something like that.
When I was in Bible college, they would say, you talk too fast. And I would write down in my outline, slow down, slow down, slow down. And it didn't work. So I just gave up. And now many of my children have picked that up also. So anyway, if on these podcasts, a lot of times you can slow down the volumes or the slow down the time. You may need to do that to get all these words in. But thank you, Cameron, for coming on. And thank you for being a great kid at 16 years old. I am excited and thrilled for you and see what God has for you as long as you'll stay close to God. Let God help you walk with God, work hard, wait for the time in your life when God's ready to send you the right one. Life serving God is a great, great, great life. And that's what I want for all my kids. I want them to have a blessed life. And that comes by obeying and serving the Lord. So, all right, any final thoughts that you have, Cameron? By the way, what does Cameron mean?
Like in Spanish?
That's it.
I mean shrimp, which is awesome because it's my favorite meat.
We didn't know that when we named him Cameron. We just thought it was, you know, he's our number 6 boy. Okay, what name do we use now? And so around the Spanish guy said, oh, Cameron, it means shrimp. Like, oh, great. So he's not a shrimp, so you can't do that. So but Cameron, thank you for coming on. He's been the next one to be done. You can say, yay. I asked you before. By the way, he did not complain like some of them about doing the, because I think he realized what?
You're not getting out of it. You might as well just try your best.
That's it. So, hey, thanks for coming on. Thanks for your life. And keep serving the Lord and have a great life. God bless you all.